Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Really thrilled to be talking to Mike Rosenthal today about his experience having a baby via surrogate and his journey to fatherhood. This week is all about talking to different people about their different paths to fatherhood and all, of course, ahead of Father's Day, which is Sunday. So if you haven't gotten your father something, good morning, Eunice. Make sure you do that. And we did this right before Mother's Day, and it was really incredible and just so wonderful to hear about different people's journeys to get to be parents and showing how many different journeys there really are to be able to get to be a parent, which is so incredible, especially today. And surrogacy is a very important one and a really great one to be able to talk about. And I'm really excited because Mike is a new father. He is, I think his baby is around 3 months old, but we'll be able to get an idea of that from him. And so he's kind of on the newer side of this, of fatherhood and his journey to fatherhood. So I'm excited to be able to talk to him about his experience so far and the journey to get to be here. So I think he should be here in a moment. But we have so many really fun guests left this week as well. And I think I actually originally met Mike around 10 years ago when I was doing a photo shoot with him for my second book. So it's crazy how things come full circle. So as soon as he comes into this chat, then we will be able to have Mike join us, but we're going to talk all about him and his wife's journey with via surrogate. So Mike, whenever you're here, just make sure to send a request and then we can, this is his first live alone. So this is a very big deal. And there we go. Here he comes. Yay.
All right.
I wonder how this is going to go over considering this is your first solo Instagram live, but I'm truly honored that you've had this experience for an episode of BDA Baby. So thank you.
It is my pleasure. My fingers are both crossed under the table here. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I mean, this is a big first Father's Day for you coming up. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And your baby's how old? Around 3 months old?
Yeah, he just turned 14 months last Friday. So he'll be 15 months this coming Friday. Is that right? 15 months?
14 weeks.
So, yes. Yeah. Going great so far. This is perfect. But I don't know.
I love it. I always get so confused because there are so many girls that that I know that when I meet in different baby scenarios, they're like, my child is X amount of weeks. And I'm like, how old is that? I don't know.
I figure like roughly 4 weeks per month. So I just do the math by 4 weeks, but then it's not, some people go by birth date. Some people go by the actual like calendar months. So I don't know. I would say, yes, you are correct. Roughly three and a half months now.
I love it. So I was just also remembering while we were waiting for you that you and I think originally met like over 10 years ago, which is crazy when we were doing a photo shoot, which is so fun that it's, you know, now we're both being able to talk about parenthood and your journey to fatherhood, which is so awesome. And also just shining a light on all the different ways that people become parents and especially ahead of Father's Day, how people become fathers. So I want to talk a little bit about, I know you and your wife, Jen, have been very open about your surrogacy journey, which is incredible because so many people are going that route, and it's such an incredible thing to be able to have. And again, there are so many routes to parenthood. But I want to go back a little bit for people who might not be as familiar with your guys' journey to surrogacy and kind of talk about when you guys decided to freeze your embryos, which I think she said was in 2015, right?
Yeah, exactly. 2015. And I'm using one of Jen's things here, and I realize it has a light on it. So I'm going to...
Oh, a glam light.
Yeah, a glam light. That's my skin. We kind of took our time with everything. I think we were dating for about 5 years before we ended up getting married. And, you know, when we got married, Jen was really kind of like just getting into the thick of it with launching Way, and things were, you know, we always felt like we were busy, and then it just kept getting busier and busier and busier. And I think also at the time, I knew that I always wanted to have kids long-term. You know, I always imagined myself as an old man with, you know, with kids. But I think the decision to, you know, make that leap was scary for both of us. And I, you know, some people, I think maybe scarier than others. For both of us, it was just the, it's a huge commitment. And then also we both have just different backgrounds and different experiences as kids. And so you start thinking about like, okay, how was my experience? What would I want to, what kind of life would I want to build, you know, for my kids? And so we just knew that we weren't at the place where we wanted to be, just kind of in our life rhythm. And then just, you know, just kind of mentally, we just weren't there yet. And, Jen was fortunate that she had, a number of clients who had gone through the process of freezing their eggs and embryos. You know, some did one, some did the other. And so one in particular just kept telling her like, you know, if you guys are going to wait, just go ahead and do this. Just take the time, go ahead and do it. And so we were, you know, really fortunate that a number of our friends introduced us to, a doctor named Andy Wong. He's at Reproductive Partners, and he's just the most gentle, thoughtful, amazing man. And he sat down with us. He does everything with Starburst and tries to tell you, okay, the orange Starburst or this kind of egg, the red Starburst or this. So he's like, and anything with candy, Jen is like all focused on the candy. So, he basically said, he's like, look, you know, we were at that point, Jen was, I think 34, 35. We knew we weren't ready yet. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, let's do this now. This will be your insurance policy. And then when you guys are ready, just come back and let's figure out what the best path forward is. And that was, you know, took us another 5 or 6 years or so. And in that time, you know, we'd gone through, you know, crazy, ups and downs with work, just exhaustion. Jen was literally all over the planet. And then even just, you know, health-wise, and she'd, you know, put this on her Instagram, you know, we ended up going to hospital a few times. She had, you know, bouts of like exhaustion. She fainted a number of times. It was, you know, she really kind of went through it over those 5 years. So by the time we were ready, you know, we went back to Dr. Wong, and we just kind of said, all right, you know, we're here. What's the best path forward? And we kind of, you know, reevaluated everything. And this ended up being the right decision for us. So, it was definitely like kind of a winding pathway to get here. And we also had to, you know, both do just kind of, you know, some self-work, which she's also talked about quite a bit. We both went to the Hoffman process and really wanted to make sure we were in the right mindset to bring a kid into this world. And so it all just kind of came together at the right time for us. You know, a lot of our friends are already on like number three, in some cases number four, which is, yeah, after having one, I'm like, how do you do that? I don't understand. But yeah, we're here, and you know, it's a nice place to be, even though we are older than pretty much all of our friends, who are having kids. This is the right time for us, and this is the right place. And we're just, you know, I feel mentally settled. Like I just feel like this is, everything is kind of clicking together.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. it's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I think you guys being open about your experience and also taking the time to wait until you felt ready and not just rushing into it is also speaks, I think, a lot to how people are feeling with regards to having kids in general right now, which is that a lot of people are waiting to have kids, focusing on their career. But that does come with also a lot of judgment or pressure. Like, why aren't you doing this sooner? Why are you waiting? Did you guys experience that at all?
I wouldn't say we had judgment. I mean, there's always people asking, like, the moment we got engaged, it was, when are you guys going to get married? The moment we got married, it was, when are you guys going to have kids? So, you know, you're always like fielding these questions and trying to, like, you know, dodge. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on both sides, our parents were reasonably patient considering, you know, they just kind of kept, you know, checking the clock. So there's really no judgment. And I think because we grew up in, you know, we were living in a city, maybe it's a different kind of rhythm and maybe the expectations are different than if we were living in a small town. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, now looking back on where we were in those other parts of our lives, it's, I mean, you know, it's a big change, even with, you know, we're so blessed to be able to have a baby nurse with us just to allow us to keep our businesses going and to be able to sleep. And, you know, and so many people don't have that. And even with this amazing baby nurse, we still are exhausted. And you're just, you know, we're trying to keep up with him as he changes. So I don't know that we would have been able to be the parents we wanted to be if if it had happened earlier. And I think everybody has to, you know, kind of make that decision for themselves. Some people are great as young parents. And we certainly had friends who had kids in their 20s and the kids are amazing. So I think it's just everybody has a different decision for themselves. And there's no way that anybody, including family, can say, like, you really need to have kids right now, you know, or conversely, you should wait. You know, it's totally up to the person.
Yeah, no, I think it's really admirable also to even be so aware of, you know, each other, that you guys wanted to take time and do work on yourselves to be in a great place to be the best parents that you can be. And so many people, of course, don't have the ability to do that, but to people who do have the ability to do that, some don't. And to be able to give that gift to your son is such an incredible thing. So that's amazing. I want to also talk a little bit about the surrogacy journey, because you always wanted to be a father, but I don't know if you probably didn't think that it would go that route necessarily. Was that like a, when the option of surrogacy, because we talked, I've talked to a couple different people on BDA Baby about surrogacy and just the process. And it sounds like it's such an incredible process, but also one that before you actually go through it, everybody is terrified of, because it's such a strange concept of, you know, for most people, meeting a stranger, interviewing different people to have this very important role of bringing your child into the world. What was that like for you?
Look, in the beginning, I think it's weird for everybody, you know, because it is such a, you know, to your point, like, this is a person that you don't know who is now being trusted to grow what will become the most important thing in, or one of the most important things in your life. Mm-hmm. And there again, I think it really depends on, you know, finding the right people to help guide you through, you know, on this path. And, you know, I was super lucky that we got introduced to two other people. So there's really three people that made this journey, amazing for us. One was, of course, Dr. Wong, We were introduced to another guy named Andy Vorzimer, who's an attorney, and he is, you know, just, this is his job, right? And he just does this all the time. And he's like, look, he took so much time with me on the phone. At one point I'm like, can we please start paying you? Because I feel bad. And he's like, no, just, I want to make sure you guys are okay. And you're just having somebody like that guide you through the process. It's still a relatively new thing. The pathways are starting to become a little better formed than they were, you know, even probably 5 years ago. But there are a lot of ways where you can kind of go astray. And so we were then introduced to a woman named Stephanie Levitch, who helps find the right surrogate. So you have the surrogate agencies, you have these kind of surrogate kind of consultants, which mm-hmm. is what Stephanie does. And then you have the attorney. So you have all these different people in the mix. But finding the right team, they first like put us at ease, but second just helped us avoid a lot of the problems that other people have had. And what I've come to learn is that, you know, many times if somebody were to go directly to an agency, mm-hmm. they take a deposit that's non-refundable. So once they have your deposit, you are kind of on the hook with that specific agency.
Okay.
Now, if you figure there's a finite number of people who first are interested in becoming surrogates. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, can go through all of the medical screening that's necessary to pass. Then there's psychological screening, because this is a, you know, while you are, you know, doing, this is a kind of scientific procedure, at the same time, it's also a very emotional, you know, process, both for surrogate, for their families, for, you know, for friends. So there's quite a number of hoops that the surrogate has to go through as well to get to the point of being, you know, thumbs up, ready to go. So if you're tied directly to the surrogate agency, you're now limited to the pool that they have to draw from, versus going with somebody like Stephanie, who can go to a number of different agencies and not just look at who's available, but who's right for you personality-wise, because everybody is looking for a different kind of experience. Some people, you know, want to have, you know, a lot of communication, a lot of back and forth.
Right.
And even on the surrogate side, like maybe they don't want to be spoken to or like micromanaged. Like part right. of the process for our surrogate is, you know, she really took pride in, you know, in helping us create this amazing child. Like we wanted her to feel like we trusted her to, you know, to do that. We didn't want to, you know, be checking in constantly, like, well, what are you eating? What, you know, what time did you go to bed? And other people are like that. So it's finding the right person that, you know, kind of communicates this, you know, the same way that you communicate, and, you know, just finding it is a relatively short relationship in terms of like just the span of one's life, but it's a very intense relationship. So mm-hmm. finding somebody who kind of fits with you is really important. And Stephanie was, you know, incredible in helping us go through, you know, all of the options and really finding who is amazing for us.
And when you guys found somebody that worked for you, which is such a, I mean, that you can even find somebody who would, you know, take that role and also be able to get along with you. And I didn't even like factor in the, you know, their family's part of it, their friends' part of it, your guys' family's part of it. So it is, you know, there are a lot of different factors that, of course, make the psychological and emotional screening part of it so important, of course. And then also they have your child's growing inside of them. So that's very important. But what was that process like? Because I think one of the big things that people who go the route of having a surrogate talk about, you know, a relationship that they've developed with their surrogate to be able to feel connected to the process of their child growing. What was that like for you guys? Because you guys also did this during a pandemic. I was pregnant during the pandemic. So there's already, you know, like kind of you know, not hidden, but it's a different experience than, you know, not having a child in a pandemic. And then on top of that, you also have it with a surrogate. What was that like for you guys to do that?
We started the process. I'm trying to remember exactly where we were in the timing and with regard to the pandemic. We started not anticipating, you know, a pandemic. Like this was, the wheels were in motion pre-pandemic. But I'm trying to think of, I mean, I guess when I think about it, maybe the pandemic had already started when we did do the embryo transfer.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So we kind of, you know, in the beginning, of course, everybody thought this was going to be, you know, a 3-week vacation, which turned into a 3-month and then 6, 9. So, you know, we had no real idea of how long this kind of condition, you know, situation was going to be happening. But we weren't able to be present at the transfer, which is, you know, one of the bigger days, and you kind of want to be there. But thankfully, due to, you know, FaceTime and Zoom, we were able to feel like, you know, we were close enough, and, you know, at least we could kind of, you know, stay in communication. We were constantly texting. You know, in the beginning, it starts as an interview, really, just like a video interview. And you just kind of, you know, it's like, hey, this is my name. How you doing? This is, you know, my favorite color, stuff like that. you just kind of get a sense of each other's personalities. But that really, you know, came to play in, you know, in such a bigger way than we ever anticipated, because we weren't able to physically be there. As, you know, the lockdown continued, you know, we weren't able to go to a lot of the doctor's appointments, which was also a bummer. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, I mean, you would know better than anybody, you know, you have so many different appointments where it's sometimes just kind of a heartbeat check. Sometimes it's, you know, drawing blood, whatever it is. But in many cases, you know, for some of the bigger checks, you know, we wanted to be there for like the first heartbeat for,
of course.
So FaceTime was really the only solution. And which was okay. You know, we still got to feel like we were, you know, a part of it and connected. But you know, that continued. I mean, we gave birth in March. And so when we were starting to plan, you know, what was the hospital going to be like? What was the routine? Getting the room set up, you know, who was going to be, you know, at the hospital? That was when we were at like the height of the pandemic numbers. And at that point, you know, they were using every available hospital bed for COVID patients. So at one point it looked like we weren't even going to be allowed into the hospital until he was born. And thankfully, you know, by the time, you know, he was delivered, the numbers had kind of gone back down. We were able to be present, but you know, my parents weren't there. Jen's parents weren't there. None of our friends were able to visit. You know, it was a very different experience than, you know, when we went to visit so many of our friends in the hospital and you know, toys and stuff. Like none of that happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Thankfully, because of technology, we were able to be connected, but it did make it, I think the kind of shock, it delayed our kind of reality a bit, you know, because she didn't have the kicking. She didn't have the morning sickness. She didn't have any of that stuff. And then on top of that, we weren't able to go to the doctor's appointment. So for us, you know, there was a long stretch of time where like, we knew we had a child coming eventually, but we were just kind of continuing on as normal and, you know, doing our work and just being quarantined at home. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, wow, we have a child coming really soon. And then it's like, you know, here's the baby. And then it becomes a whole, what do we do now? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that part of it, I think is really interesting to me, because I think for people who, you know, even people who are not in a pandemic, I think a pandemic, especially having a baby, makes everything more complicated. And thank God for FaceTime, because I think, like, I know when I went into my checkups, it's like, I had Chris on FaceTime the whole time because he couldn't come to any of the appointments. So to be able to not go to the appointments for you guys in person at all, that's so much harder. Also to have this reality shock of like, you know, like you're able to see these things on FaceTime, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're a month out. What was that like to even prep for fatherhood? Cause this is your first time. It's like, yeah. Were you just sitting there and it was kind of like, I'm going to become a dad in a month or, you know, a week. What was that like?
I mean, there's that, the excitement of knowing that this is, you know, really happened again. Like I would always have to kind of project in the future and just imagine, you know, like holding hands and like going to Disneyland and stuff like that. Because as that anticipation was for me, the worst part, especially once we started getting really close to the date where, you know, it was something that's entirely out of my control. And I kept wondering, you know, where am I going to be when this happens? I could be, you know, I could be asleep. I could be eating dinner. I could be literally, you know, you go through your run of day. I could be, you know, exercising in the garage. I could be on the computer, you know, I kept trying to anticipate, okay, when is this going to happen? How do I be more prepared? And, you know, we had all the stuff bought. We had, you know, our to-go bags, like sitting right by the door, which almost made it worse. Cause every time you walk past the door, you're like, one of these days, you know, it's that mad panic and, you know, very like Steve Martin moment of, oh God, and just grabbing stuff. So anticipation was really intense. And, you know, it was a lot of check-ins, you know, how are you feeling? She definitely by the end, she's like, you know, I'm starting to walk around a little bit. It's getting real uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh, anything we can do to send you or just to make you a little more comfortable. And, you know, it got to the point where we were, he was like right before his due date. And, so it was down to just days, and that's when I just became a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And just, you know, trying to just couldn't figure out what to do with my hands, you know, just really like at a loss for just trying desperately to relax. And some of our friends who were in our pod were so, so kind, and threw us we didn't have a baby shower, but they did this kind of outdoor meditation thing, had like a lady come with the crystal bowls and really just, you know, just a show of community, which meant so, so much. And, you know, both of us were sobbing, and it was such a strange journey that we were, you know, on one hand, so connected to our circuit, but also so detached. So connected to the idea of parenthood and so excited about parenthood, but at the same time having it just, you know, really at arm's length away due to pandemic and just, you know, given the situation and surrogacy and, you know, it was a really, I don't know, it was a very overwhelming, you know, emotional time. And so our friends having this day for us and just kind of like celebrating us made me feel like it was going to be okay. And I was ready. And I needed to have that kind of cathartic moment of just, you know, really just kind of taking everything, you know, just kind of taking stock of everything. Just be like, all right, here we are. I'm ready. This is where I'm at in my life.
Right.
Okay. Let's do this. And,
yeah.
And then I think it was only probably 4 or 5 days later. Sure enough, you know, we were brushing our teeth, we were getting ready for bed. The dogs were already like covered in their little blanket in their den. We had the white noise machines on. And then I got, you know, I was keeping my phone next to me at all times. I
had, of course,
you know, my finger on everything. Yeah. And so I'm, you know, like mid brush teeth, phone rings, you know, spit the toothpaste out. And she's like, you know, my water just broke. And I think, you know, I lost my hearing temporarily as I started. I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. What did you say? My water just like, oh God. Okay. Breathe. And then I went and told Jen. She was a champ. She was actually really calm. She's like, okay, cool. We're good. And then it was just kind of, okay, we made the plans. We have our bags. We have the stuff. We started making, you know, calls to friends and family. You know, somebody had to come take care of the dogs. You know, and then we did the drive. We actually went down to her local hospital was in Fullerton at St. Jude. And so we started driving down there again. Like, I was just profusely sweating at that point. We, you know, we were just in touch via text. She was checking in again, COVID, even for her and her husband checking in, it took them a while. They had to go through screening. And so as we got closer, they were just getting admitted. She wasn't at a point of, you know, like this is impending delivery. You know, we knew we had like a minute or two. So the car that we were driving was Jen's, the Tesla. I'm like, let's just stop. Let's charge. We're going to, you know, I don't want to have to think about this on the way back home. Like, let's just take a moment. Let's take a breath. And we pull into the closest charging station. And as we pull in, Jen looks over. She's like, I think this is the mall from Back to the Future. I'm like, there's no way. And she Googled it. Sure enough, it was the mall from Back to the Future.
Oh my gosh. Like an adventure on the way to get a child.
Exactly. And that's when I knew, okay, we are in the right place at the right time. This Amazing. Is all meant to be. We sat there for a little while. We kind of, you know, I tried to regain my composure. We picked up some Krispy Kreme for the nurses. Everybody told us, like, buy some treats for the nurses
in there are incredible. I mean, like delivery nurses and nurses that take care of women when they bring their babies into this world are heroic people. They are amazing.
It's incredible because I don't know how you guys felt, but I, you know, even actually I'll go back to even like the process of, you know, actually drawing the eggs from Jen. Like you have to go through, it's a series of shots and it's something you have to do every evening for, I believe it was 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, and going through that process, like the nurses who, you know, gave me the needles and everything, you know, for them, they just do this all the time. So it was no big deal. But for me, I'm like, I didn't go to medical school. Why are you giving me, this is doctor stuff. Like this is, I'm not prepared for this, but you just, you know, you kind of get used to it and it becomes, you know, kind of a normal thing. We got to the hospital and, you know, once he was born, I mean, you know, again, sobbing, just a blubbering, crazy mess. And we were so fortunate that our surrogate's husband was there, was actually recording and FaceTiming us because we weren't allowed into the delivery room itself. We were only able to come in right after he was kind of like stabilized and you know, healthy and everything. So we were just outside, but still got to be part of this incredible experience. And you know, once you get past the you know, amazing rush and, you know, doing skin to skin and we're, you know, laying in the hospital bed in the room right next door, that first night, you know, there's the feedings, there's the changing. I knew in theory how to change a diaper, but like when you're actually doing it for real and there's like those first, you know, baby poops that are like tar.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to, you're like, I don't understand. What is this? How did this happen? What am I supposed to do with this? And then, you know, the nurse is coming like, don't worry about it. Here's how you do it. And we would have been just lost at sea without those nurses.
It's true. And, it is so true. They're such incredible people and also so patient. I mean, if you think about the people that just first time parents or, you know, parents on their fourth kid, it's like they just deal with so many different situations and different people at different phases of becoming parents. So they are incredible. When you first became a dad and you are now 3 months in or 3.5 months into fatherhood and being a dad, what has your experience been like as a new dad?
I mean, it's amazing. It's hard to really, you know, I got to say it's probably different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking purely for myself, you know, I always heard, you know, so many people say my life at that moment stopped and everything, you know, everything I lived for was just for this tiny little person. Personally, I didn't have that experience. That wasn't me. You know, because for me and for Jen too, you know, I personally feel like a healthy parent and a healthy, happy adult is, you know, what I want to give to my child, right? Like mm-hmm. we both want to be able to be healthy, happy adults, to be healthy, healthy, happy parents for River and, you know, and eventually as we, you know, have more. So we, you know, I looked at him and it was just, first I saw my dad's face looking back at me, which was crazy. You know, it's just like this tiny, this little miniature version of my dad. So there was this incredible connection. And it wasn't that like my whole life stopped. It was suddenly all of what I was doing just had a new meaning. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, all of my dreams became dreams I wanted to give to him. All of mm-hmm. my goals were things that I wanted to share with him. All of the things that I never got to do by myself, I wanted to now do with him. And I started just kind of imagining, you know, there's all these things that like on my bucket list that I never got to do. I want to go see the Northern Lights. I want to do, you know, like dog sledding out in the middle. Like, I want to do that with him. Like I want to,
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. You know, and even just the wonder of travel and of experiencing different cultures and, you know, learning about something in a textbook versus learning something in the real world is such a different experience. So, you know, reading about a castle and then going to see a castle in Scotland in real life.
Right.
Those are the things that really got me excited to be able to, expose him to so many things. And that's really where, you know, I felt like it wasn't about giving up our lives for him. It was about creating this incredible, you know, environment for him to thrive, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also just looking at, again, going back to like the personal work that we've done, you know, we're born not knowing hate or bias or, you know, looking at this brand new person that has no idea what he loves or hates. I mean, I knew he hated cold, so he just wanted to be warm and wanted to be held.
Must do.
But just looking at the basic needs of like, you know, I need food, I need love, I need shelter, you know, and being able to give him those things and then imagining, you know, just this blank slate of a person, like being able to craft and nurture a, you know, this amazing, loving, caring little boy, that was so really
pure,
you know, and being able to really decide what kind of person do I want to bring into this world? That right. was really profound.
It's a big responsibility.
It is. But it's also really exciting, you know?
No, it's so exciting. Yeah. It's awesome to hear your, I think a lot of people who might be wanting to go down the surrogacy route and that journey, hear stories like yours and feel put at ease that you, you know, are able to have an experience and a reaction like that, because it is such a different journey than people traditionally think of and have heard of experiences. And I think it's so beautiful to be able to have that, you know, that moment of looking into your son's eyes and thinking of like all the things that you want to do together with him as a new dad and looking at him and seeing your own dad. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to have. And also people who might watch this and be on their own, journey with parenthood and wanting to know, you know, about the surrogacy experience or, you know, hear your surrogacy experience with your wife it's such a beautiful story to be able to have out there and to be able to share it with people and hopefully encourage people to be able to go down that pathway to get to be able to be parents is such a big gift that you're giving people. So I'm so grateful that you took the time to share it. And I know you're in the thick of it with parenthood right now, because 3.5 months, it's like, they're not sleeping quite as much. So they require some more attention and the lack of sleep thing is a real thing. So I'm grateful that you took time to come and chat today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And honestly, I think, again, there's no one pathway and there's no one right pathway for everybody.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, you just do what's right for you and don't, you know, try not to feel the pressure from other people or judgment, you know, hopefully not a lot of judgment. And however you get to holding that baby, I mean, Jen was adopted, right? And looking at her parents and, you know, her dad gave this incredible speech when we got married, that, you know, brought everybody to tears, of course. She, you know, he is her father. And, you know, in the years leading up to where we are now, I really got to see that it doesn't matter how you build your family is your family.
Totally.
So, yeah, whatever path people take, that's the right path for them.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and happy early Father's Day. First Father's Day. It's so awesome. So exciting. And you're doing a great job. Tell Jen I say hi. And I'm so, so happy for you as a new dad. It's so awesome. And your journey is such a great one. And so great that you guys are sharing your story and experience. And I love all the message of family and journeys to parenthood. And there's no right or wrong journey. There's just your journey. So I love that.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to Chris.
And I will tell him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How do I stop this? I just push the X.
I'll do it for you. Don't worry.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye, Mike.
Bye.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.